Where are we going? First Peter. All right. First Peter chapter 1. Who wrote the book of First Peter? Peter, that's right. Okay. Who wrote the book of First Timothy? Good. All right. Just didn't want you to say Timothy. So Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. What else was Peter? Besides being an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was an elder. And we know that chapter 5, he's actually going to give some great instructions to his fellow elders. So he's a shepherd. Okay? And, I find it interesting. What was Peter's name before Jesus gave him the name Peter? Okay, Cephas is part of that. Really, I think Cephas is the same as Peter. Just different language. Simon. Simon was his name before Jesus changed his name. What does Peter mean? Cephas mean? Yeah, Petros, right? Some sort of rock. Okay, I'll just say a chip off the old block. Okay, Jesus is the rock. But Peter, he's telling he's going to be a rock. Everything you guys read about Peter from the gospel accounts, does that guy look like a rock to you? I would say one of the first words that comes to my mind with Peter is impulsive. I appreciate him. The guy's zealous. He got courage, man. But I would say when I think of a rock, I think of stability. Okay, when I think of Peter in the gospels, that's not the first word that comes to my mind. What do you think about Peter by the time he writes 1 Peter? This guy's a rock. This guy's a rock. He is stable. He's an elder. He's a shepherd. He knows how to coach people up on how to get stable. And it just so happens that, specifically, Jesus had told James and John, "My cup you shall drink." But Peter got to drink of that cup of suffering too. And it was really the fires of that suffering for Christ that actually molded Peter's character and made him capable, with the help of the Holy Spirit, of writing his letter. And so it just so happens that Peter's an expert on how to have a good attitude during suffering, because God has a plan in it. And so that's what this letter is really about, having a good attitude in the midst of suffering. So let's take this on here. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. And particularly, I'm looking for primarily information from 4 and 5. So as we read through this, I want you guys to think through it first. Give me some feedback of what jumps out at you. Verses 4 and 5. Even the invisible ones in the back rows are more than, yes, I'm looking at you, Mrs. City. Are welcome to jump in here. But let's do let's read 1 Peter 1:1-12, but we're keying in on verses 3-5 tonight. So Caleb, I'll start with you. We'll just go around and get through verse 12 here.
Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen
according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be.
In this you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials.
So that the proof of your faith is more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him,
Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow.
It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. And these things now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look.
Okay. So specifically, guys, from verses 4 and 5, what sort of things jump out at you? Give you a second to look it over. Yeah. Yeah, it's we're gonna work on that, but I. Exactly. This, and if you guys notice the picture of heaven, everything associated with heaven is very difficult for us to wrap our minds around. Hopefully it blows our mind, but when God comes back and He relates things to us about heaven, it's still oftentimes physical pictures that He gives us because that's what we can. But He's pulling us on to something spiritual. And so when that's a great point. Incorruptible and undefiled, everything that we ever see here, from the time that the baby's born, the second law of thermodynamics is already taking effect. You drive that car off the parking lot, we'll get into that. That's a good one. It's a good point. Okay. What else? Yep.
It goes into their hope, and then basically the afflictions that you're starting off with, like hope for how that only applies to them then, but still carries through to now.
It is interesting. You look at the historical background of some of these, and the early church, they suffered. They suffered early on by the Jews in the first century and later on by the Romans. When Peter's writing this, there's a lot of persecution from Rome. But it's interesting, when he gets into this, later in this letter, there's going to be, stuff about government. There's going to be stuff about marriage. There's going to be stuff about work. There's going to be stuff like the sufferings that the human mind experiences are just as relevant to. Now, there's sometimes a little different focus, different fact, and I think, guys, what I see coming in this country, the hate speech stuff is getting cranked up, and the purpose of that is to come after us. It's just the reality. We got to be honest about that. And so there are going to be some persecutions that are coming. Right now, they're still putting it where you just judged in the court of public opinion. Okay, that's where they've come to on that. Now you say stuff, you're a hater, and you're a racist, and they just throw these terms out there and mix good and evil and make you the bad guy if you take a stand for good. Okay? So it's right now you're being judged in the court of public opinion. But that the next notch that's coming. So it's applicable, isn't it? Very applicable. John. Exactly.
You are saved by your inheritance. The salvation is coming later.
This is a great point, John. Actually, last week we talked about an initial salvation. We've been born again to a living hope. But that's not the final salvation. And we need the protection of God in order to make it to that final salvation. Like, we become Christians and Satan doesn't, oh, well, I lost that one. That's not the way, you know, later he's going to say in this letter, he prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour.
Yeah, so it's not like I've been saved and I'm saved
at
the end.
Yeah.
Because I'm saved.
Well, I've been baptized.
Yeah, right.
I even was dunked. We need the protection of God. And that's right, John. That's a very key point. And that salvation is ready to be revealed in the last time. There is a final salvation. That's why in the Scripture, actually there's a bunch of, some of the literal is our being saved. It's a process here. This process of salvation. So that's a key, good point. Jeff. Amen. Yeah, that wrapping our mind around that inheritance is difficult, but it's really cool. That I like to think about that. The 6 days of creation, and you look around. I mean, we're blessed where we live, but I mean, you just look at these mountains. You say, wow, that's awesome. You look at some of the physical blessings that we have available to us, the things that God did to give us physical life. You know, it's like, even the things that we have here. This building's a pretty nice building. Okay. Where'd it come from? It's made out of natural resources. Okay. The things that God made. So Jesus is going to prepare a place for us. He's been busy for a couple thousand years. Going to be pretty nice. Okay. I don't know how you guys are, but I have to stop and remind myself sometimes, because the way this world is and it tugs at me, and I can get a little bit discouraged or lose a little focus, and I have to remind myself, like, God knows how to reward. Like, God's not, like, He's not going to cheat you out of, like, if you're faithful, the reward's going to be great. Oh, it's worth it. And so there's a focus in here on, yeah, this inheritance. Good stuff. Anything else? I like the way you think, John Brancic. Always poking around in there. We aren't going to get to the extent of that tonight either, though. So you're going to have to keep, you know, jump in again next time. All right, good. That's a good start. Let's start off by talking about the inheritance a little bit. In the physical realm, does it matter what family you're born into? In the physical realm, there's some advantages. If you happen to be born into a wealthy family in the United States, or if you happen to be born into a really poor family in the Philippines, is there a little difference in what your life is going to be like? It can be a little difference in what gets left to you, or the possibilities of what could be left to you as an inheritance. It does. It matters in the physical realm. Okay. You know, I think particularly before we've gotten complicated enough with our tax codes and IRS figuring out a way to get their hands in on everything, it was a big deal. Old Testament. Firstborn. Why was firstborn such a big deal? Firstborn male, not only do they carry on the family name, but they got a double portion of the inheritance. It kind of gets you set up and running. But you know, and so you know, the Scripture even talks about that. House and wealth are an inheritance from fathers. I like the one where he says, a wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. You know, ultimately I think that we can apply that spiritually, but a wise man does. He figures out how to leave an inheritance. Not only to his children, but to his children's children. Inheritance is a big thing. I don't know the world we live in. I don't know what I'll have to leave to my kids. I'd like to leave them something. Nice thing. But But that, all of that stuff is corruptible and does get defiled. Do you guys, what one of the things the Lord's trying to get us to see is what a blessing it is to be a part of the family of God. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called His children, right? Man, what a blessing it is to be in that family. And that's, as members of the family, guys, we have the rights of the inheritance. This inheritance that the Lord is going to give. And we've been born again, actually, to obtain that inheritance. You know, there is an aspect of this where we get an abundant life now. It's great to live your life with a clean conscience. It's great to live your life and to treat other people right. I was talking with Caleb a little bit. You know, he's a breakfast server. And every once in a while, the really grumpy, crabby people that complain about everything, they figure out how to cheat the system. They go to these hotels and, you know, they become some sort of member and they find stuff to complain about. And then they get complimentary stuff. And then they can work their way up. And pretty soon, they're diamond members or whatever, even though what do they say? The squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? And a lot of people, they go through life, living their life that way. Wow, I'm going to get what I'm going to get. And if I just complain enough, hey, what a blessing it is to be a Christian and to not live your life that way. Like, to actually be able to treat people right, it's a lot more joyful. You might not have your diamond points at whatever. You might not have got the free breakfast from complaining. Or the free night stay because something was wrong with you, whatever. But we got a lot of blessings. But guys, there is something a lot bigger than here. And there is a hope of heaven that the Scripture emphasizes. We've been born again to obtain an inheritance. Hey, it's going to be great. So I was thinking about this a little bit. Imperishable. I think you said what? Incorruptible? Imperishable. What does that mean, imperishable? Or incorruptible? Yeah. Same thing. It won't diminish.
It doesn't lose value.
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't lose value. That's a great way of saying it. It's imperishable. I was thinking, and I had a hard time, honestly. This first one was easy for me, and after that, these next ones were tough for me to come up with. I was thinking, what are some other scripture references that pop into my mind about some of these terms are a little unusual here. We actually don't hear some of these a lot. Caleb, what were you?
I was thinking in 1 Corinthians 15, it talks about perishable, imperishable. It talks about mortality and immortality.
Okay, good. I didn't even think of that. Well, 1 Corinthians 15, talking about the resurrection from the dead, right? This perishable. He's going to put on the imperishable. This mortal is going to put on the immortal. Because this thing is decaying. Man, everything here, shutting down. The one I thought of on this one, Jesus said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Why? What do you say can happen to those? What did you say, Justin? Moth and rust destroy.
Perishable also means rots.
Exactly. You drive that car off the lot and it starts depreciating because it's already starting to. It's rust. The rust is going to start setting in. Just a matter of time before that thing bottoms out. You can throw all your nice suits in the back thing, and you better, you know, and then they smell like mothballs because you have to have them in there, because otherwise everything that we have decays. Jesus said, don't store up treasures on earth. Man, people are hanging on to stuff sometimes here and seeing what they can get and, you know, trying to keep it all for themselves. It's either going to rot now or it's going to rot when you die, but it ain't going to be nothing. Hey, there's an inheritance here that counts. Store up treasures in heaven. Nobody can touch that. Leah, what were you thinking?
In Galatians 6 and verse 8, this is a little different, but it talks about, you know, you sow the flesh, you will reap corruption, that he who sows in the Spirit, and the Spirit reaps everlasting life.
Yeah, everlasting life. Who can take away life that's everlasting? This life, this thing just, I'm 47 years old. And I'm not just having, I mean, I feel like my body's rotten from the inside out. It's going down. But you sow the Spirit, guys, there's an everlasting life that nobody can take that away. So, imperishable, that's good. How about undefiled? It's related to that, and that's why I had a little bit of a hard time thinking about that, but undefiled. Yeah.
It never gets rotten.
It's almost like it's pure. You know, you ever had something that you got and you can tell, like, you purchased something. I'll think of it in terms of food or something. And man, they cheated you, like they watered it down. You know, they ripped you off somehow or another. And they mixed it in with something else. Actually, I was looking at some of Grandma Judy's furniture she was showing. The front part's all leather, and the back part that you don't see was some sort of plasticky stuff, right? Saving money. Okay? Nobody's going to see this anyway, so we're not going to put the real stuff there. You know, that's the way the world works. I don't know if they told you that when you bought it or not, but, you know, there was somebody trying to cheat you out of something. Hey, this inheritance from God, nobody's going to cheat you out of it. It's going to be pure. It's not going to be defiled. Nothing's going to water it down. You're not going to get there and you're, well, sorry, but, you know, Jacob got here first, Esau. So, too bad. You get what's left over. It's not the way it's going to... It's yours. Yeah.
And I think that just begs how it's so important to work through stuff in our lives. And we don't know what comes up. All kinds of stuff comes up. So mm-hmm. We have to use our hearts, you know, because we want to hear.
Definitely. Absolutely. The inner man's got to be ready for this body of glory. You know, if we got this imperishable inheritance... This inheritance that won't fade away. This, I just sometimes think of it. You got some nice Camaro, or, you know, we can bump up to a Lamborghini or something. You got my little 4-cylinder broken down Honda Civic engine in that thing. What doesn't, you know, what good is that going to do? And the reality of it is, the way God has this set up, is we won't get there without it. And so, yeah, it is important. That inner man has to be prepared for the body of, for this body of glory. And so it is important that our inner man being perfected so that we're, in a sense, if we want to say it this way, worthy of that inheritance. And he'll work on that in 1 Peter.
And that also just backs that up in James when he's talking about pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is when you're visiting orphans and widows that... You want that to be real. You're not just doing it for the appearance of man.
Yeah.
You know, for just saying, oh, look what I did. You know, but we're doing it pure and from harm.
Definitely. You know, one of the things Jesus talks about in that, you know, when he talks about, hey, when you give alms, what are you doing it for? To be noticed by men? It's like, and guys, I'll just throw this out here. Sometimes I do want recognition of people. I mean, this is just stuff I've thought. I want somebody to pat you on the back and say good job. But you know what? Most of the time, people don't notice. And when they do, they can't make up for the ones that don't. And that's all you're going to get? Like Jesus says, that you got your reward in full. But he says, man, you give, you know, for your Father who's in secret. He will repay you. So pure and undefiled religion, when you're doing it the right way for the Lord... There's an inheritance. God notices. God is not unjust. He notices. And he's... Nikki.
I was just thinking about that. That having like, that recognition or whatever. Because, you know, on the like in the world, he's not like what could, I don't know where it was, but where he's saying what the house could you build me or what.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good point. Right, people try to. It always struck me. I used to work at JCPenney, and they'd invite me to come and pray at their annual charity benefit, the Golden Rule Breakfast. And it was interesting to me when they were rewarding the charities that were there. I mean, that's why they did it. They did it to be recognized. We give to others. We give to others. Isn't that? It's like that's the extent of it. It's like that's not what the Lord wants. So, yeah, it's and God isn't impressed. You know, you want to be, if you keep the law perfectly and you're going to be justified by works, you still don't have anything to boast about before God. It's like he's not like, oh wow, I'm impressed. You kept all of my rules. Good job. You did what you were supposed to do. Oh, you got all the money that you're going to offer? What kind of house are you going to build for me? You know, the Pharisees, I like it when Jesus put, they were lovers of money. You wouldn't necessarily pick up on that, but the scripture says they were. Jesus poking at, you know, hey, the things that are highly esteemed by men, they're despised by God. He's not impressed by that stuff. So what God wants is in here, in that spirit. And so so it makes sense, guys, that there would be an inheritance. What's the word I'm looking for? An inheritance that would go along with that. The inheritance that we want is inheritance that's imperishable and undefiled. I gotta get picking up the pace here. Will not fade away. You know, the same thing. This covenant, this new covenant, the inheritance isn't going to fade. And I like it reserved in heaven for you. I still remember Mike Dubb, one of my reservations, you know, reserved in heaven for you. Because it got your name on it. It's like there's a spot that says this is for Judy Adams. This is yours. That's reserved there for you. Nobody can touch that. Nobody's got the key to break into that. It's reserved there for you. And, you know, the one thing I love about Jesus, and I definitely don't have time to get into this, but if you look at the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 9, 16, 17, we all know, for where a covenant is, there must of necessity be the death of the one who made it, right? I like the way King James says it. For where a testament is, there must of necessity be the death of the testator. Okay? That means the person who made the covenant has to kick the bucket before the will takes effect, right? And so we know that, and we explain that to people. But that's not the end of Hebrews. Okay? Hebrews talks about Jesus being the guarantee of this covenant. If we put it in our terms, Jesus is not only the testator, but he's the executor of the estate. Okay? Anybody here ever been the executor for somebody that did die? You're the executor of their will? Wow. It's not particular. There's a lot of responsibility and a lot of people mad at you and no rewards in doing so. But the bigger the estate and the more complicated, lawyers get involved. And guys, it never actually is able to be executed the way that the person that died wanted it to be. It's in the hands of somebody else. Especially if lawyers get involved, you're losing a bunch of that. You know what's cool about this? The testator, Jesus, he died, he made the will, and he's also the guarantee. He lives on the throne, and he's going to guarantee that inheritance is given to his people. It's going to be done exactly the way he promised. That's encouraging and comforting to me. Jesus promised he's going to deliver. Guaranteed. So, alright. let's move on to one other part of it, this here. The rest of it we'll get to next week, Lord willing. Verse 5. Okay, it's this inheritance reserved in heaven for us, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Let's just quickly talk about protected by the power of God. Some of the verses show up in the notes here, some stuff I preached fairly recently. Actually, I think on Resurrection Day. But that physical creation, there's a lot of power. That day I kind of preached on the stars and how big they are and all that. Let's just talk about DNA for a second. Bill Gates, you know, that he has employed a number of software engineers. And he says DNA is the most complex system in the universe. This didn't come about by accident. That little four-letter alphabet system, DNA, and the way that thing is constructed, it is so powerful. Amazing what it runs this thing. All the real-time adjustments that we can make all the time, there's a lot of power there. That's just one little aspect of the physical creation. And so God takes, you know, through the Old Testament. What are some examples, real quickly, from Old Testament that jump out to you of God, a display of God's power? We're just going to rapid fire them here. What'd you say? The flood. A lot of power. Ooh. In the beginning, Walt Brown, you see that thing ripped apart like the seam of that baseball. The fountains of the great deep being a lot of power unleashed. Exodus of Israel. Parting of the Red Sea. Hey,
creation.
Tyler.
The plague.
Yeah. Some power there. You'd think you'd be smart enough not to argue with one of those. Anyways, yeah. I mean, it's filled with power, right? The reason for those, they are real. Okay, I do not. Some people try to explain the way the miraculous of Scripture. Those are real things that happen, and they are there to show us a little window of the power of God. And the purpose is for us to be able to begin to see into the spiritual realm. The greatest demonstrations of God's power are not physical. They're spiritual. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Did anybody see Jesus actually ascend into heaven and take his seat on the throne? Last I checked, Jesus' closest followers were like gazing into the sky while he was departing, right? They never saw that ascension to the throne. There's a lot of power there in the invisible. The more spiritual something is, the tougher it is to see. Well, we can't see it. That's the reality of it. But the more power that's there, God expresses his power through the resurrection and ascension of Christ. Let's do Ephesians 1, verses 18 through 21. I don't know where we left off, so Isabel, you're back, and I'm trying to make sure you're still, jet lag doesn't totally have you taken out. So Ephesians 1, 18 through 21, will you hit all those for me?
Name that is named, not only in this age, but also in this
The prayer is that our eyes would be enlightened so we can know these things. One of them is the riches, the glory of his inheritance. We were talking about that's tough to wrap our mind around a little bit. Another is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. Guys, our God is powerful. Now, you think about most people's perception of God outside of Christianity? He's an impersonable God. You take the Hindus. Closest thing you can do to God is get really impersonable. Like, I think Buddha, left his wife, left his family, go sit out there next to that tree and try to become one with the tree. I'm oversimplifying a little bit, but that's... You know what, Christians, at the core, we understand God is involved in our personal lives. That's why we pray. I mean, it's one reason why we know. We pray, God hears us. God's involved. He went to great lengths to show us. He cares about us. His power is directed towards us individually. We got to wrap our mind around that. When we were immersed into Christ, that same power that God did in raising Jesus Christ from the dead and seating him, that same power was unleashed in us. That same power is here to protect us. There's a verse from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 2. So, you ever get in a discussion with the once saved, always saved? One of the things they like to bring up is what Jesus said in the Gospel of John, no one can snatch him out of my hand. That's true. That is absolutely a true statement when Jesus said that. Nobody. That when you're protected by the power of God, nobody can take you away. Now, where they break down a little bit is there's this part through faith, we'll probably hit next time. There's a requirement on our part for that power of God to stay active in our lives. You walk away out of Jesus' hand, he's not going to force you to come back. He's not going to put a rope around you and drag you back. But the power of God is such, nobody can snatch you. We're protected by the power of God. Satan is no minor adversary. He's the God of this world. He got some power. But the only power he has over us is the power we give him. Greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. Amen? I do like this verse from Proverbs. Proverbs 2, verse 7. Hit this with my Sunday school class last week. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity. You know what you need in your life? There are a whole lot of death traps out there. You know what you need? God to be your shield. If God's your shield, you're going to make it. How about this one? Isaiah 52. This is a fun one. Isaiah 52, verse 12. Calista, would you mind reading that? Isaiah 52, verse 12.
But you will not go out in haste, nor will you go as fugitives. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard.
God's going before you, and God's coming after you. Protected. Protected by the power of God. I try to be honest and real about the challenges of this life. I try to be honest and real about the devil and the way that, he operates, and he's always trying to get in and, tempt and, pull away, discourage, distract, all of those things. But you know where our focus really needs to be? It's on the power of God that's here to protect us. If you let the devil take up space in your head, and you're letting them live there rent free. Okay? That's not where you want to be as a Christian. We got to be aware of Satan and his traps and his schemes. But the reality of it is, we have the protection of the power of God. Devil can't touch us. What were the odds? When God told Noah, I want you to build that boat for me. And Noah signed on to the plan. What were the odds that that boat was going to get built? 100%. Yeah. I was trying to think about probability, odds, and chance. Okay. We're just going to go with 100% chance, all right? 100%. We won't get overly mathematical on our terminology. 100% is going to happen. Guys, the Lord, we've been born again to obtain an inheritance. If we sign on in faith, what are the odds we're going to get that inheritance? 100%. We are protected by the power of God through faith for that salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So, this week, real quick, let's think about action. How can we apply this, what we talked about tonight, to our life? What do you think? We want to be doers of the word, not just hearers. We heard about some cool stuff. How do we make this, apply this to our life as a doer this week?
We got to remember that we're children of Christ. We're not children of Christ, we're children of God.
Yeah.
We're right alongside Jesus at this point. We've gone through the death, burial, and resurrection.
Amen. Remember who we are. Flip that switch in our minds. Exactly. Don't let things bog you down. Remember our inheritance, and it's a purification process, and this inheritance is going to be well worth it.
With God, it's 100%. Satan's the one who puts odds on.
He likes to play the game. What are the odds?
That's right. He puts the odds in. Don't let him put the odds in.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that inner man to be ready for this that inheritance. I mean, we're storing up treasures in heaven. I want us all to make it. I want to make it. What if I get there and I got the little? I might be thinking about this wrong, but some people want the house on the hill here. Let's store up some treasures. Let's get there, man. It's be ready for that, Jeff. So we've been born again to obtain this inheritance, should reflect in our life. Amen.